Thank you so much, Father Theodore, Father Thomas, Deacon John, and Deacon Paul is in the altar. It just makes my heart jump when I look and see the choir back here and to be able to be with you all during this Holy Week. Tomorrow, I'm going to be going to New York and spend the rest of Holy Week with our daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren at their parish in Long Island in Hagia Paraskevi, St. Paraskevi. So it's such a blessing to be here with you all, and thank you, Father Theodore, for asking me to say a few words tonight. I cannot help to think of last year where we were when we were doing our service, and there were five people here, and we were preaching, and the chanters were singing beautifully, of course, but you were all at home watching via Zoom, or via YouTube, I guess. So what a difference a year makes, which gives us an opportunity to be so grateful and so thankful and so appreciative for God's grace and God's love. I want to say a few things about our service tonight, and we know that the service on Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night is called the service of the bridegroom, the Greek word nymphios. Interestingly, nymphios, of course, is a man, and nymphe is a woman. So it's the same root word. When you look at the icon, this incredible icon, and come up, you'll see the Greek words, the name, o nymphios. And think about taking this suffix os away, and nymphe is in that word, of course, as well, which gives us an indication for us, just as it is for us in this realm of life when we get married, we are to be, in the best sense of the word, evenly yoked, husband and wife, evenly yoked, wife to husband. And so it is with us. We know, if we know the scriptures at all, if we know our Lord and Savior, he calls himself, amongst other things, the bridegroom. And we, the people that God has created, the church in specifics, are called to be the bride. And just as the name nymphios and nymphe are the same, we are called to be evenly yoked with our Lord. What does it mean to be evenly yoked? Look at the icon when you come up to venerate at the end. To be evenly yoked is to be like this. To be yoked with tapino furosini, to be clad with tapino furosini, with humility. To have a garment, not so much a beautiful outward garment, as an inward garment, a garment of our soul. I'm going to read for you the beautiful hymn, the Ex Apostolarium, that we sing on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday. Oh, my Savior, now I see your wedding hall decorated, and I have not the garment needed for me to enter it. Listen to this. Make this raiment of my soul brightly shine. Make this raiment of my soul brightly shine, O giver of life, and save me. We could be decked out with the most beautiful vestments, but if our soul as clergy is not decked out with humility, we're not going to be evenly yoked with our Lord and God. We can come to church in our Sunday best, not so much anymore in the 21st century. We can dress to the hilt, but if we are not decked out with the raiment of utter humility, we are not going to be yoked with the bridegroom evenly. Lest we come to a point of despair, look at what we commemorated, as is the case in each of these services, a secondary commemoration. The commemoration this evening is the sinful woman that is recorded in the book of Luke, When Jesus was at the Pharisee's home by the name of Simon, this woman came up as they were at dinner table and began to wash our Lord's feet and put oil upon them and dry them, wash them with her own tears and dry his feet with her hair. There was, you could imagine, a murmuring that went around the table. Jesus was aware of this murmuring, and he asked Simon, there was a murmuring because everybody knew that this was a sinful woman, most likely a prostitute, living a sinful life. And the murmuring was, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, if he was really the Savior, if he was really the Christ, he would know what kind of woman was washing his feet. To which Jesus replied, Simon, I have a question for you. Let's say there were two debtors, and one owed 100 denarii, and the other owed 10,000 denarii. I might have got the numbers wrong, but you got the idea. And he forgave the one who they borrowed from, forgave them both. Who do you think would be most appreciative? And Simon said, the one who owed more. You have answered correctly, Jesus said. You see this woman? When I came into your house, you did not offer water to wash my feet because we've been all walking in the dirt. You didn't offer water to wash my feet. But this woman washed my feet with her own tears and dried them with her hair. Therefore, her sins, which are many, are forgiven her. And then he turned and said, ma'am, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. That's who we commemorate tonight. Throughout the hymns, the focus point of the hymns is this woman on the one hand, and on the other hand, one of the chosen 12, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 chosen, who is the one who shortly thereafter is going to betray our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. The last hymn, the Doxa Tikon, the glory which the choir so beautifully sang again this evening, is a hymn written by the nun Cassiani in the 9th century. According to the story, the history, Cassiani was a beautiful woman from a very wealthy family, and she was up for marriage to the prince or the emperor. When he came, however, to see her and saw her incredible beauty, she said something to him which made him, in his ego, a little bit upset, and he passed her by. But as the story goes, he never gave up her love for her. He married another, I believe the Empress Theodora. But he never gave up his love for her. She went on to become a nun, and the abbess of a monastery became a hymnographer. Lest we think that all of the hymnographers are men, Cassiani was a famous hymnographer as well. The Doxa Tikon, which we just heard, is one of her great masterpieces. And as she is writing this hymn, it's about her relationship with God as she became the abbess of this monastery and dedicated her life to our Lord. But according to the story, the emperor came late in life and wanted to see her one last time. She was in the garden writing this hymn, and he came. She fled from him. She didn't want to see him. And he actually added a little bit to the hymn. In any case, just think about who we commemorated on the fifth Sunday of Great Lent, Mary of Egypt. Who we commemorate and remember now through the gospel teachings of our Lord, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the sinful woman. We don't give up hope. We do not despair, because even though none of us here from patriarch to bishop to priest to deacon to you, none of us is worthy. No one is worthy. But the encouragement is always, in the midst of our unworthiness, to, in humility, with our own tears, ask for forgiveness, live a life of metanoia, repentance, till our final breath. Remember this story of Saint Zosis, I believe. This is a man who was such a holy man, one of the desert fathers. So holy, in his later years, near 100 years of age, he's near his deathbed. The disciples and all around him know him as the holiest of men that they have ever met. And he is in tears, asking God to allow him to live a little bit longer so that he can confess his many sins. Is that the fire alarm?
That's a sin.
Is my sermon over? The opportunity is to ask for forgiveness and know God is a merciful God. We really haven't really focused yet on our Lord's passion until later in the week. Our focus now is his incredible love for us, his incredible mercy, his incredible compassion, his invitation, just as a bridegroom is in love, deeply in love with his bride before they're going to get married. He pursues us. And the way he pursues us is this way. And he asks us, invites us, desires us to be united with him. Let's take advantage of that invitation and be united with the depth from the depth of our heart in humility, knowing we are not perfect and we never will be perfect. But in the midst of that imperfection, take great hope in this hymn of Cassiani. Take great hope in this woman who washed our Lord with her tears and her dried him with her hair, of Mary of Egypt, that the Lord will never leave us. Our God is with us, and nothing can ever take his love away from us. Have a beautiful and blessed evening, a beautiful and blessed remainder of Holy Week, and a glorious Pascha. You will be in our hearts in New York, and please keep us in your prayers and hearts as well. God bless you.